see everybody present this morning, and we hope that if you can make it tonight, we're going to have our monthly singing. We postponed this from last week. We'll have that this evening, and after our service tonight, we'll have our annual Christmas party. It's always a lot of fun, always a good time. Good food, good fellowship, good time to be together, and we hope that if you can make that also. It's supposed to rain starting about 5 o'clock, so about the time church starts, but you'll be able to walk over to the annex without getting wet, so if you can make it for the party, I hope that everyone will. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we give you thanks for every good gift we have, every spiritual and physical blessing we enjoy each day. We know that there are many. Father, we are grateful that we can come to you in prayer, grateful that you listen to us, that you want what's best for us, that you've given your very best, you gave your son to die for us. We're thankful, Father, that you began the church, you began it way back long ago in Acts chapter 2. We're thankful that people have told us the gospel, helped us to understand the scriptures, to understand your truth. Bless us, Father, as we study this morning. We're thankful for the Bible. Thankful that we can have it in multiple copies, and we can have Bible helps like Bible dictionaries and commentaries to help us to remember, Father, no book, no matter how good it might be, no book in the world replaces the actual Bible itself. Bless us now in our study. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. For scripture reading this morning, I want us to turn over to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. By the way, we still have several that are sick. Lonnie is sick this morning. Bella's still got a very, very bad cold, so appreciate if everybody would remember all those congregations that are ill in the private prayer. James chapter 1, let's begin verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, but God cannot be tempted with evil, but tempts, and neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth fruit, and fruit, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will began he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the time of year where we think about giving gifts. We will go to the stores, we'll go online, we'll do what we can to get just the perfect gift. Some people have already done all their shopping for Christmas. Some, like myself, we wait till the very last minute. There was an article in the Reader's Digest a few years ago. The title was Weird Gifts My Mother Gave Me. And I often thought about that. Sometimes when we are young, we don't appreciate the gifts that our parents give us. It's only when we become parents or we are able to buy gifts that we think about how important it is. But ask the question, has God given you anything? Just recently, we had that important day of Thanksgiving. We talked so much about giving thanks for what God has given us. And yet the Bible makes it clear that God is a giver. He gives things sometimes to the just and the unjust. In fact, Jesus said he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain to the just and the unjust. We know that the fact that the rain comes, it brings nourishment to the water and the food that grows from the soil, and we have that and have other kinds of foods as well. Some gifts like that all people enjoy, whether they're just or unjust. Everybody benefits from it. And then there are sometimes when there are certain blessings that only God's children have. Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive. Talking about Christians being able to receive from the Lord. We need to remember the fact that the world thinks about things so much in a physical sense, in a physical world. And we do live in a physical world. We can't deny that. And yet the spiritual part is much more important. Jesus said, what shall it profit man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So the physical thing you have, while they're good, while they're blessings, while they're from God, we need to concentrate more on the spiritual blessings that we have. Now, you can be rich physically. You can be rich materially and poor spiritually. Jesus talked about that in the church of Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2. He said, I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. They were rich in a material way, but they were poor spiritually. The context of James chapter 1 is the fact that the devil is trying to get people away from God and be enticed by things of this world. He does everything he can to get you to think about things of this life and only this life and not think about the next life. There will be a next life. Mark it down. It is sure. It will happen. There is going to be an afterlife. People are going to face God in the judgment. There are only two alternatives, heaven or hell. So you need to be preparing for that. But let's look at the things that we find here in James. And since this is a month of giving, I thought maybe this for the next few weeks we're going to think about God's good gifts. And think about some of the spiritual things that God has given us. First of all, we need to understand from the book of James the fact that God is a giver. In verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is neither shadow or variableness of turning. In fact, in verse 5 of chapter 1, James said this. He said, if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's important that we think about God as a God of giving. In fact, Brother Guy Woods, in his commentary on the book of James, said that verse 5 really says, let him ask of the giving God. God gives that way. God's nature is to be giving. God's nature is to be liberal. It is to be loving and forgiving as well. And God has given to us so much. We don't imagine how much he has actually given. Now, I wrote over the last, I don't know how long it's been, I've been writing this down, but I tried to make a list of the spiritual blessings that have been a blessing in my life. I came up with this list. I started it. You can't see it, but there's different kinds of ink, different pens I've used different times. I've just gone back to this list of the spiritual blessings that I've had. I got down to 150 on this list. With your permission, I'll just read this very quickly. Now, some of these things would apply only to David. Some of these things wouldn't apply to you. The blessings that happened in my life were not in yours. But still, and much of this is applying to everybody in the spiritual blessings you have. These are blessings and things you can be thankful to God for. Number one, Christ. Number two, salvation. The Bible, the church, hope, heaven, evangelism, examples, great Bible stories, elders, deacons, preachers, comfort, prophecies made and fulfilled, truth, faith, love, warning, the Holy Spirit, Bible miracles, Old Testament Israel, faithful servants of God, the prophets, marriage, families, joy, patience, encouragement, growth, translations of the Bible, Bible dictionaries, Bible commentaries, Sunday school teachers, Sunday school literature, purity, humility, generosity, kindness, courage, limitations, peace, purpose for living, worship, prayer, singing, the Lord's Supper, preaching, giving, holy history. You find that in the Old Testament, and it still continues today. We have a whole sermon on that. Old Testament as a whole, benevolence, edification, meekness, God's love, judgment, justice, eternal justice, eternal punishment. Some people think that's a terrible thing, but there is a sense in which it is right. There are angels, there are covenants, God's character, obedience, forgiveness, zeal, suffering for Christ, repentance, confession of faith, baptism, victory, the atonement, reconciliation, the blood of Christ, faith in Christ, restoring the age, Aaron, God's care, the general resurrection, the second coming of Christ, seeing God in nature, rewards, sanctification, serving, sobriety, good speech, strength, figures of speech, God's discipline, grace, spiritual weapons that we have, thanksgiving, assurance, names of Jesus, wisdom, honor, honesty, deliverance, mercy, refuge from the storms of life, promises of God, providence of God, cross, Christ's resurrection, fellowship, scheme of redemption, the Lord's church, the local church, Did you ever thank God for the Oliver Church? Did you ever thank God that over 100 years ago, brethren established this congregation? Something to be thankful for. Local preachers, love for preachers, religious books, brothers and sisters who stand for truth, Bible teachers that I've had in my life, Fred Hartman, Anna Hardy, ancient Bible texts, the ancient books that we have besides the Bible, Christian evidences, missionaries, both foreign and domestic, singings, gospel meetings, Bible lectureships, workshops, Christian wife, Christian mother, Christian grandmother, and other Christian members of my family, people obeying the gospel, family get-togethers, freedom, baptizing my father into Christ, baptizing my youngest daughter into Christ, men's business meetings. Did you ever thank God for that? That's a spiritual blessing. It isn't just something to do about business and dollars and cents. It has to do with the Lord's work on earth. Memory. Christian hymns and hymn writers, young people in the church, older people, mature Christians, silver saints, I've entered that category. Brethren leading in worship, thank you notes, archaeological finds, archaeologists, the birth of Christ, gifts, church bulletins, encouragement, VBS, Christian ethics, Greek language, the Hebrew language, personal evangelism charts, and other things for personal evangelism, the parables of Jesus, the Old Testament parables, church treasurers, and the counters, men who count our contribution each week, sermon books, communion supplies, sisters in Christ, and I came up with another dozen even after that, but there was no more room on this paper, so I just had to stop. Could go on to another sheet, and if you took all the physical blessings we had, you say, God has given so much to be thankful for, so many blessings in our life. Any one of us could fulfill a sheet like that very easily. God is a giving God. He is the God that gives. And as a giver, we need to say to the Lord, thank you. Now, one thing about this, the book of Acts has a very interesting point about God's giving. Acts 17:25 on the Mars Hill, Paul said, as though he needeth anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. God doesn't need anything from us, but it's only right that we say to God, thank you for all of the blessings. Thank you for the times of worship. Now James begins his little discussion here about God as a giver, and he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. God gives everything for man's good. There are times when people will say, well, God is just wanting you to miss the good things and the good things in life. That's not true. Not true at all. God gives man every good thing for his life, every good thing that would benefit him, and God warns man to stay away from things. You look at the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And all those things of the works of the flesh, God says, stay away from that stuff. Don't do those things. Those things bring heartache and pain and suffering and misery in life. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All those things he has that he wants us to do. We walk by sight, or we walk by faith and not by sight. We take what the Lord has said to us. Secondly, God as a giver is unchanging. Man needs security to have a good, stable mind. And we need to understand God's love does not change. Paul said the same thing over in Romans chapter 8. He said, I persuade that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Now, you can separate yourself. That's true. You can, through sin, through a sinful life, you can separate yourself. Nothing else is going to separate you. Not only that, but God's justice has not changed. It is wonderful to think about the fact that God is just. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 2, he says, do you think you will escape the judgment of God? People think that God is not going to judge me for things that are sinful. Well, yes, he will if you don't get forgiven of them. If you don't come to Christ and become a Christian, you'll be answering for those things. As a Christian, if you don't ask God for forgiveness for sin in your life, you'll be answering for those things. But you do have the possibility, you do have the privilege as a child of God, as someone who's been baptized into Christ, to go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I did this. Lord, I said this. Lord, I thought this. Lord, it was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I confess my sin. And the Bible says the blood of Christ washes us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing that is. Not only that, God's demands for man have not changed. We have stability in the love of God. We have stability in the justice of God. We have stability in the demands of God. And basically, God's demands have come down to two things. Two things. Faith and obedience. All through the Old Testament, God required people to have faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And you see a survey of the Old Testament. And that survey doesn't give every story or every person, but it gives a whole group of them. And it says, without faith, without faith, without faith. Faith is what it's built on. In fact, he says in verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. God demanded that there be faith. Not only that, but God demanded that there be obedience. And again, look through that Hebrews chapter 11, and you see all the times, all the stories of faith, but you also see examples of obedience. In fact, the Hebrew writer said in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he says he's the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. God has always demanded faith. He has always demanded obedience. Fifthly, God has always kept his kingdom in the world. The Hebrew writer again says, wherefore we receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All the other kingdoms of the world, all the great empires have come and gone. The Babylonian kingdom came and went. The Assyrian nation came and went. The Persians came and went. The Greeks came and went. The Romans came and went. All the other kingdoms since then have come and gone. But God's kingdom will never be destroyed. He promised this in Daniel chapter 2. And we know that Jesus said that his words will never pass away. Christ's words and Christ's kingdom shall always be on earth. And we can be members of that kingdom today if we just obey what the New Testament has to say. But not only this, but in the third place, God has given us a sense of purpose. If people are really going to have stability of mind, they need to have a sense of purpose. James 1 says, there is neither shadow of turning. That is, it isn't one way, one day, and another way, another day. It isn't that God says, well, I told you to do this, now I'm telling you to do that. No. God gives man a sense of purpose to serve him. In fact, in the Old Testament it says, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And we need to constantly remind ourselves, I'm here for a purpose. My purpose is to serve God. It's not to obtain money. It's not to obtain fame. It's not to be put into the history books. My purpose is to serve God. Now, I may find some things that are nice along the way. You may earn some money. You may achieve some physical things. That's true. But our purpose is the spiritual part of man because we are essentially a spiritual being. He is a new creature in Christ. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Some translations say a new creature. And that's what we are in Christ. All the wonderful things you see out in nature, they're beautiful, they're marvelous, when they're talking about butterflies and flowers and the great mountains and the stars and the lakes, whatever it is. It's beautiful out there. But it can't compare it to the new creature that is in Christ. Christ will take a man, a sinful man, a man who is vile, wicked, rebellious, and make a new creature out of that person. By faith, repentance, confession of his faith, and baptism into Christ, that vile, wicked, rebellious person is now gone. He has died to the world. He has now been resurrected, and he is now a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And only through the blood of Christ. You can look at nature all you want to, and you're never going to be forgiveness of your sins. Look at all the beauties of the world and the universe, and you'll never have the peace that passes all understanding. But in Christ, we can. In Christ, God takes all your old sins and he washes them away. In Christ, he makes you a new person. In Christ, he gives you a purpose for living. God's good gifts gives you all of that things. Now, the text of the New Testament that most everybody knows is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a gift. Will we give back to him? Hebrews, around 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talked about those in Macedonia. He says, who gave themselves, first gave themselves to the Lord. And if you want to give back to God, that's what you do. You give yourself to the Lord. You can write a large check, that's true. You can do all kinds of donations, that's fine. But you have to first give yourself to the Lord. That is your heart and life and dedication to Christ. Do that by becoming a Christian. Do that by believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, putting him on in the waters of baptism. If you haven't done that, why not do it this morning? Why not make that decision? I'm going to give myself to one who is the great giver to God. And learn the lesson, wash away all my sins. Maybe as a child of God, you realize you need to be dedicated to that. You were baptized one time, but you realize you really haven't lived a Christian life, and you need to rededicate your life. Why not do that this morning? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come, we encourage you to come, while we stand, while we sing.